Man, what a time to be alive sometimes. So, sometimes I really do take advantage of the fact that, like, I'm just around so many dope people and just so much dope shit. Now, if you wonder why I'm saying this, folks, it's because the beat that you're listening to right now is a backdrop right now. It's done by the homie AB Smooth. Him and my dog TBH, they both have this project called Perfect Vibes or whatever. Royalty-free music you can listen to on your streams as a backdrop, as well as music you can have on videos and whatnot. You've heard these if you're a returning subscriber or a new subscriber or whatever on a lot of my videos as of late and whatnot. It's completely free, and it's like complete, like, what's the word I'm looking for, like ASMR, not ASMR, but that genre of just like real chill vibes. Perfect for anything that you're trying to do, whether it be video editing, you know, some just play where you can just vibe and just chill for a little bit. So you have on a stream that way people just listen to it and rocking with you as, you know, you're playing your game or having a civil conversation like this, whatever it may be. Keep this in mind. They're not paying me for this. I just rock with them like this, and I really mess with this project. You dig what I'm saying? Lo-fi, that's what I'm looking for. You can actually look it up on YouTube. It's available on all platforms. Even tweeted out a link that we could actually download the songs wherever you use them. All that they ask, and it's literally the least that a lot of people could do, is just give them the credit and leave a link to it in the description box of your videos and whatnot. Like I said, these are my people, so I really do rock with them the long way, the strong way. Dig what I'm saying? Shouts out to them. And we still got my boy Biggie Beats playing in a lot of my videos as well too. I just gotta get on his ass about getting more beats out to the people in this type of format. But any old way, people, welcome back to another episode of Thoroughbred Talks. Now I know it's probably been about 3 weeks. I've been aiming for about, you know, a bi-weekly podcast for both my podcast and, well, technically both my podcasts, but y'all get what I'm saying, my solo pod and the Run Those Games podcast. But you know, life be lifing, because we got a lot to talk about today, both personal life stuff as well as the gaming stuff that y'all be coming here for to listen to as far as my takes, things of that sort go. As well as some news and whatnot, a little bit. I don't like talking too much about news because that should be exhausting. But any old way, let's go ahead and get on into it. So we're gonna do it differently. Usually I would do like the life stuff for last. We're gonna get this early and out the way. Your boy's back in therapy. Yeah, I finally took the plunge, jumped back into therapy. I reconnected with my original therapist that I've had, or that I had when I first started this pod, I think in like, what, 2019 or something like that. Yeah, I got back in contact with her. And yeah, I'm now back in therapy. The only problem is that, you know, there's such like a long gap in between fucking like three or four years worth of shit has went down and is going down in my life right now, that I just need a professional opinion and some advice on how to tackle some of these issues. Because like I mentioned in the previous podcast, being that strong friend comes with a lot of responsibilities and a lot of weight that comes with it that not a lot of people are ready for. The idea or the thought of being that strong friend might seem alluring, you know, very enticing to people, but it's not for the weak. It's not, because you get told some things that they wouldn't tell nobody else. You get to trust with like a lot of information, a lot of secrets, a lot of problems, a lot of everything. The best thing that comes to the territory is just the love be unconditional. They love you like a family member type thing. Like they see you like as an older brother or as a OG or like as an elder or something like that, that could provide that feedback that's just unbiased and it comes from a place of love and not a place of malice and whatnot. But it does a lot to like your mental though. It definitely does a lot, because you know, who does strong friend go to when you're the strong friend? Like, I usually just go to myself. Like, I don't tell my problems to nobody else for real. I might vent a little bit on my podcast here. I might even do it on stream. I might even tell the homies a little bit of something. But as far as like overall me just speaking, I don't do that too often, because I don't like people feeling sorry for me, because I don't like feeling sorry for myself, as well as I don't like making myself feel a burden to others. Although they might tell me, oh, you're not a burden, I can't help myself if I feel that way. You dig? I can't do nothing about that. So yeah, I'm back in therapy. You know, we reconvened a little bit. The most relieving thing was the fact that she remembered me, which really said something. Like that really touched me a little bit, because for as toxic as it might be and for as untruthful as it might be, y'all would have to let me know that. In my mind, I'd be thinking a lot of times that I'm just kind of like forgettable or whatever. And that might be because I hold myself to a unrealistic standard. standard. Hell, it might be because I compare myself to my peers around me who are at the positions I want to be at, to where they're, you know, memorable, to where they've created moments and whatnot. I'm just trying to, you know, see if I can create those moments organically, not trying, you know, to do it on some goofy type stuff or you know, clickbaity, go viral, whatever. It's a lot that kind of goes into it. It's just very difficult. But it was dope that, like, I remembered her name or whatever, but it was dope that she was like, I recognize your name immediately, like, now seeing your face, like, I remember exactly who you are or whatever. And I was all like that was like relieving, because I'm like, thank God that you were like, didn't forget me. Because the problem is, like, I seen her maybe a year or like a couple months before COVID like hit, like when the world shut down entirely type joint. And then in between that, like, I was just, you know, dealing with all my shit. I mean, hell, this podcast became like a main platform to me to actually get my thoughts out for real. Cause y'all know, if you've been to the streams and whatnot, how difficult these last few years have been in general. It's just been a lot. Flat out, it's just been a lot trying to get through all this shit. Like, I can sit here and say that, you know, it was easy, that there was no hard points, that it could be worse, but them days felt like the worst that they've ever been, and a lot of them were the worst that they could have been. It's putting me to the point where I had to remind myself, worst case scenario, and it's morbid, but the worst case scenario is I die. That's the worst case scenario in like almost every situation. I put myself in that mindset. It kind of brings everything back down to a realistic standpoint, which helps, but it's probably not the best. But like I was saying, yeah, talking about therapists, I had my first therapy session last week, because I can't divulge everything to y'all that's been going on, because it involves other people and other things and whatnot. But just know it's been heavy on my mind. A lot of this shit's been heavy on my mind, heavy on my heart and whatnot. So I can't. Hey, I wish that I could figure it all out, but I'm human and I'm still trying to figure out my own shit. Like, I'm still trying to pave my own way and make my own way, because I'm trying to be the first to do something in my family aside from working a 9-to-5 and living like that. Like, actually doing like having a career path. And a lot of comes with that, and a lot of pressure comes with that shit, because there's no blueprint for it that I could like go step by step and follow. I have to be the step by step. I have to bump my head. I have to make the mistakes and, you know, figure out the fixes or the workarounds. I have to do all that dolo. You dig? Because there's no blueprint for what I'm doing. There's none. Not one that I could see that like my family, like a sibling has done or a relative has done. No, it's me doing this. Damn it, I was doing so good without saying So after talking to my therapist, you know, we caught up, talked a little bit. She was putting me on some things that like I didn't notice about myself, was that I talk fast. Like, I knew I've always talked fast, but I never understood. Like, I always thought like it was just like a thing to kind of like get my point across, or that's just how I talk because that's how I was all my life. But was she actually, have you ever been like tested like ADD or like ADHD or something like that? I was like, nah, it never even crossed my mind or anything like that, nor did it cross my parents' mind, because I'm able to focus, you know, on things if I need to, but I just, like, all my thoughts are just always happening like rapidly at once, which is why sometimes doing this podcast, I'll get distracted and talk about something else, or I'll do that, say, or a variety of things that just happens when you got a million candles lit at once, or when you got a million thoughts coming in at once. Because like I said, I don't only deal with my problems, I deal with my friends' problems as well. And I take those things personally, because I see my friends as family, not just friends. Like, these are people I grew up with, people who've seen me struggle, people who, a select few seen me cry, but like who I've been, you know, vulnerable with. So that's like family, because not everybody can see that side of me. Like, y'all don't really get to see that. Y'all get to see bits and pieces of me being irritated, maybe a little bit of emotional, but y'all have not seen me fully let my walls down. It's actually ironic because in the background, as I'm talking about this, is I got one of my Siege videos playing of me focusing right now. It's just a lot. And when I mean a lot, it's not so much to where I can't handle nothing. It's just a lot to where it's just I wish that I could like write it all down, but when you're dealing with so many outliers and so many different emotions and feelings and whatnot, you kind of have to learn to compartmentalize like what can be done now versus what can be done later and pushed off. And a lot of times I push my own shit off to the side because I know I can handle their shit first. So I'm able to focus on that. Now, we're probably going to eventually have a talk about boundaries and whatnot in one of our sessions. I'm like 95% sure about that. I have a hard time setting those because I don't like saying no to people. Now, I have no problem saying no to people I don't know, but those I love and care about, like fam, like my people, I have a hard time saying no. Because it's like, I don't want to tell you no. Like, if I got it, you got it. I have joint. So even if I don't have a lot of energy or a lot of like emotional support, I'm going to give you what little I have, which in turn leaves me with nothing myself, but it is what it is. And that might not be the healthiest thing. It's probably not the smartest thing, but it's just what I've grown accustomed to, what I've just do now. It is what it is, man. And the problem is like, I don't want people to not come to me with their problems. I don't want people to not come to me with their issues and whatnot, because I'm here for you no matter what. Like I talked to somebody today about, I was like, if you have my phone number, like I got you. Like, call me and I'm there. Like, no questions asked. Like, call me, I'm there. Like, you got my number for a reason type joint. But that's just how I am. And that's just how I've always been. But yeah, man, it's just like, I gotta learn and unlearn so much shit. And it's just so mentally taxing and draining. It actually kind of sucks too. Because like, I wish I could be that superhero. I wish I could be there for everybody. Like, I wish I could just be that for everyone. And it comes to a point where I have to realize that I'm human and I don't have that. I can't be everywhere for everyone. That's somebody that they had to learn to be strong for themselves or do what I do and go get help. And that was the hardest thing for me to do, because I fell back into old habits of, you know, before I went to therapy, before it got dark, but before that, where I was doing the same things over and over again, you know, isolating, shutting myself off, not talking to nobody. I'll figure it out. Don't worry about me. And it's like the people around are like, hey, idiot, we love you. Tell us your problems and we can help, or at least be here to listen. Sometimes that's all people need, just somebody just to listen to them. That's real shit. But I fell back into those habits, dog. And it's easy to fall back into those habits. It's just, you just can't allow yourself to, as well as you just gotta accept that sometimes you need to go get help. Like, I hate the thought of like people like, well, therapy doesn't work, you're just talking to somebody. And I'm like, well, you talk to nobody but yourself, your single home girlfriends, your single homeboys who ain't got nothing going for them, who ain't trying to do nothing, who are not in the position that you're in, who don't understand where you're coming from at all, who can't provide nothing but your perspective or your side of the story, because they don't think from nobody else's perspective outside of yours. They don't think about the other side. Like, you need to go get that help. You need that unbiased opinion, who's going to help you in whatever you're going through, who's going to do something for you. You feel me? You need that unbiased professional opinion, who's actually done the research, who actually has the knowledge to see your flaws and your issues, who's able to call you out for your BS, who's able to do that type of stuff. But people have these egos and have so much pride where I don't need that. And it's like, well, that's why you're sad and miserable. Like, that's why you end up losing yourself in somebody. That's why you end up losing yourself in your relationship or whatever it is, because you've been doing things your way for so long that when somebody tries to introduce a different way, you're like, well, I got this far. It's like, yeah, well, if you want to get further in life, you want to be successful, you want to do anything else, you're going to have to learn some new tricks. You got to look at your brain and life like this. But real talk. You got to look like this. Your emotions and all that stuff is like a toolbox, right? An empty toolbox. You need to fill that thing with tools that you can use for any situation. That way, if something is broken up here or in here, you know what tool to apply to it. You know where to see the problem and how to fix that problem. And that's what therapy does. But a lot of people are just so hard-headed, have such a big-ass ego, or just don't understand therapy or help, even scared of therapy, that they just think you're just talking. It's like, you're not just talking to somebody. You're releasing that pent-up aggression, that hurt, that pain that's in you, and telling somebody, I'm feeling like this and I don't know why, or I need to understand how to deal with this type of stuff. Especially if you're like a person of color or something like that. Because there's a lot of shit that we go through that other folks just don't understand. If you're a woman, there's shit that y'all go through that me as a man, I wouldn't understand. I could imagine it, you know, having a mother, sisters, aunties, cousins and whatnot. Hell, even a couple girl best friends. Ooh,
red flag word, whatever. You weird motherfuckers.
But having like girl best friends and whatnot. But I could imagine it, but I don't know that firsthand account. It's different. And that's what that therapy does for you. So going back is helping. I actually have my next appointment, I think next month on the 6th. I'm looking forward to it because I got a lot to just get out, because it's a lot for one person to deal with all at once. Because for me, it's like one thing after another where somebody tells something. I'm like, okay, well, I'm depressed all the time. Contrary to the smiling and laughing I do, I am wildly fucking depressed. And I'm like, I'm gonna push that to the side because I can't afford it right now, because my people need me. My folks need me. I still gotta work. I still gotta put out content. I still gotta go to work. I still gotta get the money. I gotta do this. Like, I can't afford to be in this space right now because I got so much shit that I want to get going for me, or that I want to get going for others. And I'm like, I'll just figure it out later. I'll just allow myself to feel that when I can. And sometimes, and a lot of the time, I just don't allow myself to feel them things until they become bottled up, suppressed. And then before you know it, I just have a random outburst of just rage and aggression that I just can't explain. And, you know, I end up finding out later that, you know, it was because such and such. It's shit like that, dog. It's rough out here. But, you know, every day I try to better myself and be a better man than I was yesterday. That's about all I can do and all I can hope to do. Because, hey, shit is rough out here, folks. Shit is rough out here. But that's going on. Y'all know I'm in a new relationship right now with my old lady. This is going good. It's going real good. She's actually going to be moving in with me pretty damn soon. So that's a new chapter that we're about to embark on that I'm a little excited / nervous about. Because I've had a roommate with my dog Oscar before, but actually having somebody who you're intimate with be your roommate is different. I'm looking forward to it though. I do love that girl a lot. But yeah, that's kind of about all I want to get into with the life stuff right now. You know, we're going back to DreamCon with the squad in July. I will say their way of doing tickets, it needs to be looked at, done over, something like that, because the fact that a site can go down multiple times, you have to keep refreshing it over and over again to get in, it's shitty, because a lot of us, we was planning on upgrading our tickets and we didn't even get to do that, so we're just stuck with all of us having like basic ish tickets, except for I think Rambo and Agent got in thankfully, so they at least get to experience more of it. But it just sucks though, because it's like, bro, like why is that a thing? I honestly think that you should have been able just to buy whatever ticket that you wanted outright, but they didn't do that because they wanted to wait to figure out like what they were going to add to each tier. At the rate that this is going, it's probably about to become more expensive to go because it's already a little bit more expensive than it was last year. So it's only going to increase in price because the demand is about to increase with it. It sucks. That's going to happen, but it is inevitable. But it's going to be an experience nonetheless that we're going to have fun and enjoy. And hell, if it does get too expensive for us to go and meet up there, hell, I mean, that's why we're gonna look into having them all come out here to Arizona for like a weekend or something like that to kick it with your boy. You did, because why not? It'd be fun, and plus it gets them out of the hot, muggy, cold areas as well. I'm looking forward to it, because DreamCon last year was a blast. Y'all seen the vlog. Had a great time, and this year is going to be even more fun, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, you got to make the best of a unfortunate situation, because it's not a bad situation. I'm still going. It just sucks that I didn't get the upgrade that I wanted, and wasn't able to get for Dante either. But when it's all said and done, we're still going to be there. You feel me? Like, we're still going to be there. We're still going to have fun. It just really sucks dick that we couldn't get the upgrades. Like, not even the gold. Like, it was like the regular ticket, then the upgradable ticket, and then you get gold, which you get, you know, access to certain stuff early. Then you get platinum, which gives you like exclusive access stuff, a swag bag, and an autographed poster and whatnot. I remember, that's how you can tell that I'm hurt, because I really didn't want that so bad, but I didn't get it, and it just sucks so much ass, bro. Ooh. But aside from all of that, let's go ahead and talk about some of these games. Now, Tekken 8. got announced. We done got trailers. We done got the King trailer. And that trailer, folks, looked hot. They done added new mechanics called like heat and whatnot. It's a lot. It's a lot going on right now. I think the Tekken Evo tour or Tekken Evo Japan is happening. I think either this weekend or next weekend. I can't wait to see that. We watching that. I'm not gonna lie. The fighting game community, the FGC community, we're about to be good this year. I'm not gonna say weird. I'm just part of the nerd community more than anything, because I'm just interested in so many damn things. We got Budokai Tenkaichi 4. So Budokai Tenkaichi 3 came out in let's see, Dragon Ball Tenkaichi 3. Budokai Tenkaichi 3 came out in 2004. Some 9 years ago. 19, actually. Damn, 19? Shit. Maybe I did my math wrong. No, there's no way. Gotta be 9, right? Either way, I don't feel like doing all that math. No, it was 19. Oh my god. So 19 years ago, right? That got announced. And then Street Fighter 6 is announced. And I think I'm missing one, but the big ones that everybody is losing their mind over is Budokai Tenkaichi 4 and Street Fighter and Tekken 8. Eating good this year when it comes to fighting games, because it's about to be just a plethora of just content coming out from all angles, where you got to find something that you like, especially with Budokai, because I mean, some of us have been waiting for that game for years now. The last one I think I played was Budokai Tenkaichi 2. I think that was the last one I played, so I'm looking forward to actually playing this new one, as well as Tekken 8, because I actually want to like compete and like do some tournaments and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to that right there. Like, that's gonna be some heat, like some real heat. And then on top of that, Resident Evil 4, that just dropped. Talk about it, because I consider talking about Tekken for an entire podcast. I don't want to do that to you. I want to get to those games. Resident Evil 4, one of my favorite Resident Evil games that I've never played. Keep this in mind, folks. I hate scary games. Don't like them. It's not like being scared. The thought of me getting my anxiety and adrenaline going has never been something that's been intriguing, enticing, or something that I would want. Ever. It's just not my thing. It's just not my thing. Right? So, for me to say that's my favorite scary game is crazy. Or favorite Resident Evil game. But it is. And the reason is, it's because my cousin, whom I was close to, brought that to the house all the time when it first came out, and would play it nonstop and like beat the game a few times. But I loved it because it was like the story was interesting, as well as the environments and whatnot. It seemed horror without doing too much, like without all the jump scares and not all the extra shit. Like it seemed like it just just keeping it very simple. But man, when I tell you this I almost said upgrade. What's what I'm looking for? This remaster. It looks amazing. So if you've seen the Resident Evil 2 remaster, the Resident Evil, 3, like the whole updated look, it has that and it looks fantastic, but it's still, I'm not gonna lie, that Chainsaw Man is terrifying, and people have been playing this nonstop. Like, if I go on my Twitch right now, right? Like, 4 people are still playing this game. Like, literally, 4 people are still playing this game who are, like, in my recommended channels. They have, like, over, like, 100-some-odd viewers or whatever. And then, actually, even in my actual following, a couple of them got a G-bar up in there. I mean, that just shows you. And this is a lot of people's favorite Resident Evil too. It's a lot of people's favorite, because they did, you know, the OGs, but then they did this one. A lot of people didn't like Resident Evil 5 or 6 or whatever. I was indifferent, because I was never the biggest fan of Resident Evil as far as like staying up to date with the continuity of and following up like that. It just never appealed to me. But 4, it just fascinated me to the point where I played it for 15 minutes. I didn't even get to the chainsaw part. I literally did the part where you go to, where you enter the city, or when you're in the forest, you know, you, I think you're just walking, then you get chased by that big ass boulder, you go to the city, and then the bell tower goes off, you kill a couple zombies, and then you do something else, and that's when the chainsaw dude comes out. As soon as the chainsaw dude came out, I was done playing at that point. I was over it. I was out of there. I didn't want none of them problems. I didn't need none of that smoke or that negativity in my life. Not an ounce of it. But when I tell y'all that, like, I'm loving how some of these remasters are getting done now. Because not every game need, like, we were complaining a few years ago about every game getting a remaster, right? But the problem was they were remastering games that people weren't asking about or asking for. Like, remastering The Last of Us for, like, 4 or 5 generations is unnecessary. Like, PS3, all right, that makes sense. You know, that's when it originally dropped. PS4, all right, cool. Then you bring it to PC, so you already hit that market. But now it's PS5 and you're doing it again. No, we don't need that many remasters. Like, y'all need to relax. We don't need that. Y'all could have been made a Jack and Daxter remaster or something like that. But y'all keep trying to push out Last of Us. Boy, go to hell. Like, they're doing titles that just came out, like, on a previous generation and not going back in a Duffy on, like, some PS2 stuff like Resident Evil 4 or the Resident Evil 1 and 2 and whatnot. Like a remaster should be a game that's in that vault or in that nostalgia or, like, in that OG type category that people are very fond of, and you bring it back to update the graphics, the frame rate, and everybody loves it. Like, could you imagine? Think about this for a second. We've been asking for another Def Jam Fight for New York type game. We ain't never gonna get that. We've been asking for NFL Street. We ain't never gonna get that. You know, we want, you know, a Need for Speed Underground 2 or whatever. Although the new one, the last that they dropped, Heat and Unbound, are great. I will say that. They are definitely great. But Underground 2 and Most Wanted? Come on now. Oh. Come on now. Y'all know and I know those are the GOATs. The first one has an amazing soundtrack. The first Underground's, oh my God, that soundtrack is fire. But Underground 2 and Most Wanted, the GOATs. Those are literally the GOATs. But it's like, we want those games to be remastered, to come back out with updated graphics and whatnot. And people will pay for them and play them immediately. But it's like, now we're going to remaster The Last of Us, or we're going to, like, remaster Red Dead Redemption 2. Or, like, we're gonna fucking, I swear to God, we're gonna remaster, like, 2K20. It's like, bro, go to hell. Cut it out. Remaster some OG stuff. Remaster Medal of Honor, Airborne? I think it might have been Airborne. Let me double check real quick. Let me see, Medal of Honor. I think it was, like, Medal of Honor, either Airborne or something. Rising Sun, that was my game. Like, Medal of Honor Rising Sun. Like, look at all these games right here, yo. Like, this game, like, these two were not bad. They just need to do a little bit better. Just a little bit better. But they had that potential. But the PS2 era, they need to remaster something like that. It don't even need a multiplayer, because the story in and of itself was fire. Y'all could remaster Shell Shock. Y'all could remaster a whole bunch of games. But staying on topic, imagine they remastered Def Jam Fight for New York. Y'all don't think that would do numbers on Twitch? Y'all don't think that would do numbers on YouTube with updated graphics? Y'all ain't gotta update the soundtrack, because the soundtrack is perfect the way it is. Perfect. One of the best soundtracks of all time. And keep in mind what I'm saying. I said one of the best before one of you dorks tried commenting, it's not the best. Shut up. I said one of the best. Anyways, but it's literally up there. Could you imagine they remastered the NBA Street Series or the NFL Street Series? Like I said, you don't even have to add a new, like, the new roster to it. You could, if you want to monetize that bad, because you know EA wants to, because EA loves money. You could just have them added as, like, a DLC. The 2023 draft class or whatever, DLC. Fucking $15 get you everybody in that class, or in all, like, team rosters or whatever. Same thing for NBA. People would go nuts for that. Like, could you imagine they remastered backyard, like, they brought back the backyard series, backyard football, backyard baseball, backyard basketball, backyard hockey with Pablo? Could you imagine they remastered that? Come on now, they need to start remastering some of these actual like OG games that we all miss. Like we don't need a remaster of a game that came out last generation already. We don't need that. Like the games that came out on PS4, let them sit for a little bit. Go back to the PS3, pick some of them joints up. And I'd honestly say, go back to the PS2 before even the PS3. Go back to the PS2 and pick them joints up. Pick those games up. Remaster those, and then the PS3. And then by that time, enough time has passed between the PS4 to where some of those games deserve that remaster treatment. Go back. Y'all got way too much heat in that back catalog to just out the gate be trying to remaster some of these other ones. Like, make it make sense. It's just dumb. It's just very dumb to me. But it's just these remasters, like now that we're seeing them, are getting better. And that's why like I want Resident Evil, like this series, to be like the example of like how a remaster that I can remember right now, keyword is remember, is how it's supposed to be done. You don't really need to take much or anything from the source material. Just update that graphics, that frame rate, make the control smoother, fix the camera if you can, and just put that game out, let the people enjoy it. Because then you're hitting people whose first console might not even been a PS2. It might have been a 360 who ain't ever played it, who are now interested. Because then you're tapping in other markets when you go back into that back catalog. Oh, but you know, they ain't gonna listen to me. They ain't gonna listen to me. Y'all need to vote with y'all wallets, because if it's just me, then shit, we ain't gonna get no wealth. But yeah, that's a positive in the gaming community space right now. Another, I'm not gonna lie. I gotta do a shout out real quick. Shout out to Bugatti Bees, bruh. Because he's uploading again on YouTube, and it makes me feel so good seeing somebody who's actually inspired me to like do YouTube for real, like come back and do the shit for real. Like, y'all don't understand, like I was watching YouTube like when I'm old. But when YouTube first came out, I was watching like a lot of like And1 stuff. I was watching a lot of like street ball stuff, skateboarding. I hate lint because I've been thinking it's a whole spider on my wall. But I've been watching like all that type of stuff, right? When I hit about 2008, 2009, something like that. No, maybe a little bit earlier. But when I was like watching like TBH and his stuff and like the gaming content, I was getting exposed more to that. But when I hit about 2012, 2013, 14 region, that's when I was really watching This Is a Commentary, Trey Melvin. If y'all know about that era of YouTube, you really missed out on some like funny skits and whatnot. But I was watching Trey Melvin, Gotti B's, I know I'm gonna miss one. I was watching Emmanuel Hudson and them, Spoken Reasons. I was watching all those guys. I know I'm missing one. It's gonna pain me because I'm gonna see a video later. I was watching that shit too. But anyways, I was watching all that stuff, and it puts me in a time capsule to like when my relationship, my ex-relationship at the time, where it was real smooth for real, like it wasn't bad. It also puts me at a time where like it was very simple because I was hanging out with my friends almost every weekend. I was just doing so much at the time, and I was depressed still, but because that shit ain't never go nowhere. But I was just having just a little bit more fun because I was like just free. But it just puts me like a time at ease because it was just funny just watching them just talk about like just random stuff, like, you know, like, you know, why I hate teachers or like why school sucks. Like one of my favorite videos that he did was like why Dora pisses me off or something like that. Like he was doing stuff like that, or he would do like 21 Getaways to Die or some shit like that. He was doing stuff like that, and it was just funny. And like even like later on in life, he was doing, you know, mukbangs and whatnot. Then he was doing like Q&As. He was doing, you know, if I laugh, I drink challenges. He was doing stuff with his younger brother. He was doing all type of stuff, but then he just stopped because like his channel started getting like targeted for like demonetization because I was just hitting everybody. And so he just stopped uploading. He didn't upload for like 2 or 3 years. But now he's back uploading again. And it's great to see, because like I said, like seeing that and like seeing him specifically, I'm like, damn, like I was watching you like when I was like in, actually, I think we're like the same age, but or around the same age. I was like, damn, like I was really watching your content for real. Like, it's dope to see you back. So shout out to Bugatti Bees. I'm happy that you're back doing YouTube videos for real. As a fan, for real. Even though I doubt you'll see this, even though I post the shit on Twitter, but whatever. But going forward with more stuff. Oh, we gotta talk about this. So TikTok might get banned. It's like a 90% chance, something like that. I've been seeing that, like, the Business Insider has been tweeting about it and whatnot. But the problem is that I've noticed is, like, we as a country, community, whatever, we got to get these old people who don't know shit about technology or the future, or are not going to be here for the future. We need to get them out of office, out of these seats, out of everything. Because they're not doing nothing for us. They're not providing nothing for us. They're just doing stuff for them and for their views and how they want things to be done for them. They're not doing it for the people. Because they're trying to ban TikTok or whatever, right? And I see this as just a big ass way to just have Meta, Facebook, that whole Instagram thing, just see that as a way just to corner the social media market. That's all I see this as, because there's no other reason. Because I've watched, like, little bits and pieces of, like, the little hearing or whatever, and I've never heard people just sound, I actually have, but they sounded so out of touch. Or, like, does it connect to the Wi-Fi? It's all like, does your Fire TV connect to the Wi-Fi? Does your phone connect to the Wi-Fi? What are you talking about? It's like they're taking talking points that were just fed to them, and they had no rhyme or reason as to understand what they were asking somebody at all. Like, they were just talking just to talk. It's very aggravating, because it's like they're just doing this just to do it. And they're like, and I've seen one where the dude was like, for those who are saying we're old and out of touch, you are old and out of touch. You are exactly old and out of touch. It's not us just saying it. You are that. Completely, thoroughly, the whole shebangy bang. Like, there's no, for those saying we're out of touch, you are out of touch. Y'all don't know nothing about TikTok. You don't know nothing about technology. You ask this man, does it connect to the Wi-Fi? You ask this man about facial recognition and whatnot. Yes, if you're using a filter or whatever, it has to look at your eyes and recognize that as these where the eyes are, this where the face is at. Like, what the fuck is y'all talking about? Again, this just seems nothing just more like as some business BS, some greed or whatnot. You know, normal shit that just sadly goes on in politics. It's just very frustrating. Like, you're trying to ban this app. We got real world issues going on right now, but trying to ban an app that literally just lets people just have a voice and able to build something out of nothing, for real. Like Keith Lee or whatever, doing his food reviews or whatnot. The I forgot the dude who does, like, the simple reactions type stuff. You got people who, like, make an entire career out of, like, you know, reading comic books and talking about them and whatnot, video games and so on and so forth. It's like, y'all really want to get rid of people's source of income or career. And granted, I'm all for diversifying your portfolio and, you know, not having all your eggs in one basket. I completely understand that. However, getting rid of, like, the one that continues to bring in more people while you're trying to get them, the people that you have to go to other places, is hard. So having that one big standing one is great. When you take that away, you're taking away, like, that person's, like, you know, fan base, for real, because not all of them gonna follow. Sadly, it's very frustrating. Not all of them gonna follow. They're like, yeah, no, I'm gonna stay over here. But it's like, y'all just trying to get rid of this app, just get rid of it at this point. Well, what about the data? Facebook had a data breach, if I'm not mistaken, before. If I'm not mistaken, Twitch had one. Fucking, didn't Twitter have one too? Hell, Twitter's getting rid of the two-step verification where if you don't pay for it. So what are we talking about data? Y'all don't care about the people. Literally at the time of this podcast recording or whatever, rest in peace though to those who fallen. But there was another school shooting or whatnot. Another one. And y'all worried about TikTok. I'm worried about bullets more than I am another trendy dance. Make it make sense. But, you know, we got to keep our guns. We got to get rid of all the other stuff that you could use to have fun and escape the bullshit. Because the people's constant argument is, well, you know, guns by themselves don't kill people. No, the people who are able to buy the guns or access the guns with ease are the people who are hurting people. The problem is, why do you need an AK? Why do you need an AR-15? Why do you need all these heavy artillery weapons? Are you hunting? Because if you got to hunt with an AK, you're a terrible hunter. What about the government does this? You dick ride the government when it favors you. You do that. You don't never question them when shit going good, but it should be a whole lot better for those who are poor and disenfranchised, or for those who do not have the same benefits as you do. That's I hate that argument. Well, you don't come take my guns. I'm pretty sure everybody says that. I'm pretty sure everybody's on the same page of, but they try to take my guns, gonna be a problem. I'm like pretty sure you're not the only one there, Thomas. Problem is, little Timmy should not be able to get a AK. You should not have an entire gun safe with military grade weapons that is just easily accessible. Among all else, you should have gun education training if you have little kids or impressionable kids or even teenagers in your house. But you don't. Just don't touch them. You don't explain nothing. And then on top of that, they always get the same cop out, troubled, boner, that whole damn thing. I'm just so sick of all these school shootings. And it just makes me so mad that people are focused on TikTok when this is like a reoccurring thing. But we know the cycle. Mass shooting happens, discussion over gun control happens, thoughts and prayers, nothing happens, and then the cycle continues. It happens every time, because watch, I gave it 2 weeks, this entire thing's gonna blow over, but we're still gonna be talking about TikTok. We're still gonna be talking about the latest drama. We're still gonna be talking about, sadly, the next rapper dying or something like that. It's gonna be something along those lines, because it happens all the time. It comes to the point where you just become numb to it, and that's really sad, because these are actual lives being lost. For as much as I say I hate people, I can't stand people, I still would not want innocent lives taken. I don't hate people to that regard. I just avoid people. I'm on the same wavelength as like a Brock Lesnar, where I just avoid people. Like, that's where I'm at. I just avoid them because I just get uncomfortable. That's kind of where I'm at. It just sucks that it's gotten like this. We're gonna ban a app because that's where the real danger is at, this app, not these weapons that are literally eviscerating people within seconds. Not that at all. The weirdos. But that's all I got on my show notes, people. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode of the podcast. We will be recording the Run Those Games podcast tomorrow at the time of me uploading this, which will be March 30th. I love y'all. I'ma holla at y'all later. Next time y'all might see me might be after my next therapy appointment, so I could talk to y'all about some of the things that I've learned. So hopefully what I learned and what I relay to y'all are able to use and apply to your own personal lives. Cause I'm trying to have my help so I can help y'all. And then y'all could eventually use what I'm telling you that I've learned in a situation that you might relate to or might, be going through yourself. And so you might even go out and get help in therapy your damn self. Cause I mean, there's many outlets. I go see an actual therapist, but you could also use BetterHelp. They don't even sponsor this podcast, by the way. BetterHelp doesn't even sponsor me. But I hear about them all the time. So you can do that. There's many forms of outlets that you could use to go and get somebody to help, so you could talk to them and get that pain and that hurt out your system, so you don't take that pain and hurt out on people who are undeserving of it. But I love y'all. It's your boy Woozilla. Thank y'all so much for listening. Don't forget to rate this podcast 5 stars on all your podcasting platforms, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio. Shout out to Anchor for actually having our podcast available on all these platforms. If you're watching the video version of this, make sure to hit that like button, comment, and subscribe. And it's your boy Woozilla, and I'm out. Y'all be easy, people.